Hey, hockey fans, I'm Breezy.
And I'm Ray Ray. We host the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
We're lifelong hockey fans who talk about the game and the lifestyle. Our guests include professional hockey players.
My rookie party had to wear Speedo, and then we had a checklist of stuff we had to do.
Here we go, Gaber. What do you got to say? And it's kind of like, you know better than that now, boys.
I got dressed for the Bruins. I get a phone call. He's like, dude, we need you over here by the elevator. You got to get downstairs. You got to get dressed right now.
Started playing the like, dun, 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 dun. And I turned it around and it had the Olympic rings and said, we did it.
NHL team hockey reporters.
I actually took the Stanley Cup to this ice bar where they've got now girls around them and I've got a fur coat on.
I wonder who he should have checked over here. And then I looked down at my feet.
Hockey fans.
The entire bar was lined with guys in Kings jerseys. We quickly realized, oh my gosh, this is the dad's trip.
And we bring unique hockey stories to light.
Coming back to England, 24 rinks in the entire country. That's where the problem starts with the sport of ice hockey here.
Canadian Blind Hockey Association, those few kids we interviewed, their whole week is built around Sunday at the rink. They're just hockey players.
We don't agree on everything.
Pineapple goes on pizza.
No, it does not.
I think it does.
But we do agree that there are many people and places that build the House of Hockey.
New episodes every Tuesday. Come on in to the House of Hockey podcast on the Hockey Podcast Network.
LA Kings fans, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 144 of season 2 of the Kings Den, as always presented by the Hockey Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Jordy Cunningham. Thank you so much for joining us on this episode 144 of the Kings Den. We got a good one here for you folks as we welcome Russell Morgan back to the podcast. I believe it was his third or fourth time being on. We discussed it at the start of the interview. His third or fourth time being on. He's a writer for Hockey Royalty, podcast for Hockey Royalty, talking all about the LA Kings. He was at the Kings prospect camp this weekend in Arizona. So we talked about all about the prospect camp and expectations for the LA Kings this season as training camp starts. It's super exciting. Training camp is this week. Yes, this week. I know you're excited for it. All hockey fans are, because training camp starts for everyone this week. And seeing the Young Stars tournament got everyone excited as hockey is right around the corner. And it was no better time to have Russell on to discuss what we expect from the Kings this season and to hear about what the young guys did at the Young Stars tournament. So without further ado, here's Russell Morgan of Rink Royalty. And now we welcome back to the Kings Den once again. I think it's his third or fourth appearance, something like that. Russell Morgan. Russell, how's it going today, buddy?
What's going on, Jordy? Good to be back. Yeah, I think it's the third time I've been on your show now.
Yeah, I believe so. And I'm pumped to have you on again because you got to be at the Kings prospect camp over the last few days. So just, and of course, training camp's just around the corner, but it's always prospect camp first. You got to be there in person. You got to watch some of the exhibition games. You got to watch some of the kids go at it. So let's just hear your takeaways from the event.
Yeah, all in all, it was a fun weekend in Arizona. Just good to see hockey kind of live again. Hadn't seen that in quite some time. So we all know the Kings prospects pool and how good it is. So they went into the weekend with some good odds in terms of faring pretty well, and they did. So I mean, finishing 2-1 overall. Friday's game with the 4-0 win over the Colorado Avalanche. They looked great. I mean, the top line of, I believe it was Byfield, Kaliev, and Kromiak, they all looked great. I think they assisted, they combined for 6 points on that game. So that was a good showing. The Sunday game was a little bit more sloppy, 2-1 win in the shootout over the Coyotes and at the Gila River Arena. Alex Turcotte had a pretty good game, scored a goal, and then Tyler Madden had just a ridiculous shootout move onto the backhand. So that was a good victory, I guess. If that's what Coach Robleski was just looking for, progress being made and progress being shown, and they showed that during that game. And then it was a little tough on Monday when they had to go from a 6:30 p.m. night game the night before all the way to you wake up and play a game at 11 a.m. the next morning. So it was a little tough, but they showed pretty well. I mean, with a 3-2 loss, I mean, it was a pretty good showing by them. And yeah, a lot of good takes, a lot of good progress for the LA Kings rookies.
Yeah, that's a tough schedule no matter who you are playing, 6:30 and then 11 a.m. the next day. That is tough.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Before I get to kind of who stood out, did Byfield get hurt somewhere along the line? Is he okay?
Yeah, so on Monday he left the game. I believe it was late in the first period or early second period. I can't remember, but we were kind of just watching the game, and all of a sudden you don't really notice him on the bench. And the Kings PR had said that it was an upper body injury and he was considered day to day. I mean, for me, I didn't really see anything in terms of like him getting hit hard or anything like that. So this is all guessing and speculation. I just think it was just more precautionary than anything. I mean, you have main camp coming up on Thursday, where I'm sure the Kings management would rather have him healthy than that, playing as opposed to playing a full game at 11 a.m. when they just played a game the night prior. So I think it was just more precautionary than anything.
Yeah, for sure. And now I totally agree. He has to be healthy for training camp, which starts in a few days. I mean, we'll get to that in a second, but I just want to continue to keep the talk going of the young stars for the second, because I just want to ask who really stood out to you, who stood out and who kind of disappointed over the last few days.
As far as who stood out, I had my, my all tournament team for the Kings. Left wing was Martin Kromiak. I thought he had a really good camp, 4 points in 3 games. He's really known as an offensive type forward, and he's got a lot of speed and he's got a great shot. So look for him to excel coming up on the OHL with Kingston. He'll be playing alongside Shane Wright, who's the 2022 top overall pick or prospect. So expect him to put up a lot of points. Alex Turcotte had a great weekend. He was healthy for once, which is good for him, who's gone through a lot of injuries, especially with the appendectomy surgery that he just had to have. He had a pretty good weekend. And to me, I think he's probably the most NHL-ready prospect out from what I saw during the weekend. He was in tenacious on pucks. Even Coach Robleski even talked about his tenacity that he showed throughout the weekend. So that was good. And then Aiden Dudas, I mean, this kid's just all over the puck. He's a buzzsaw. And that was the exact word that Coach Robleski used when describing him. And I asked him about Dudas' game, because on, I believe it was Sunday night's game, he took a pretty nasty hit early on in the game, and it kind of woke him up, but he was still involved throughout, noticeable throughout the weekend. Jordan Spence was another defenseman player that had a really good weekend. He's a right shot defenseman, but they had him play on the left side, which was really interesting, because I mean, if you look at the Kings right side depth chart from the prospect pool, I mean, there's a lot to like. I mean, you have Brant Clark, Brock Faber, Sean Durzi. So there's going to have to be some defensemen moving to the left side, and Jordan Spence might be that defenseman. So he had a good weekend. And then Sean Durzi, the Friday game, he just looked incredible. I mean, he was wearing the C, and he was just all over the ice. I mean, defensively, offensively, strong on pucks, skating away from defenders, first pass up. It was good to see him. And if I had to give an MVP for the Kings player for the weekend, and I'd probably give it to Sean Durzi, because I thought he had a great weekend. As opposed to players who I think disappointed, I mean, it's kind of hard to say who disappointed, because I mean, you're not really looking for, I mean, I guess you're kind of just looking for development, really. You just want the management is just looking to see how the prospects are doing. And I had a piece go out today about the takeaways from the weekend, and I want to be real careful when I say this, but I just wanted to see a little bit more from Quentin Byfield. That's all. I mean, it's just, there's talk of him trying to push for an NHL roster, and I get that. And for me, I'm a little bit more pessimistic to that idea. I think he could use another year with Ontario. I mean, you're still talking about a 19-year-old who was thrust into professional games just last season due to COVID. So, I mean, another year in the AHL wouldn't hurt his development. I mean, I think you're going to hurt his development more if you kind of thrust him in the NHL roster more than you would just leaving him back. So when I'm talking about like him being disappointed. I just wanted to see a little bit more. I was hoping I'd kind of see him almost dominate. I mean, he was good. He was good. But I mean, we're talking about a second overall pick and playing among prospects of his age. I was just hoping to see more. But all in all, good showing.
That's fair. And that's awesome insight. It's so nice that you got to be there and we get to hear about it. Now, and you said Sean Durzi had a great, he had a great weekend, and he wore the C. Didn't Samuel Fajimo wear the C for a game as well?
Yeah, so they switched off players each game. I don't believe there was a captain assigned on Sunday night game, from what I can remember. But Rasmus Kupari actually wore the C for the Monday game. He and Samuel Fajimo sat out for the Sunday night game.
Okay.
So on Monday, they actually came back and they had Kupari wearing the C and Fajimo wearing the A. If I had a second all tournament team, those two players would be on it. Cause I mean, when they came back, I mean, obviously they were well rested from the night before, but they looked great. I mean, Samuel Fajimo was all over the ice. I mean, he was in on pucks. And when those two get together and get that chemistry going, it's really evident and goals will happen. So that's a pairing I wouldn't mind seeing in the NHL sooner rather than later.
Yeah. It's so nice being so excited about a prospect group like this. Of course, the best in hockey by far. And like, those are guys that I'm really looking forward to, is Fajimo and Kupari. I'm looking forward to everyone, but those are two that have like really stuck out in my mind as well. Cause it's like, we know how good Turcotte is, but it's kind of been tough with all the injuries and such. And Tyler Madden, same, has had the injuries. So you know, the guys like Kupari and Fajimo are guys that we've kind of seen like a lot the last few years, despite COVID and everything, the kind of the names that you hear the most of about because of injuries to guys like Turcotte and Madden and such.
Yeah. I'm really high on Samuel Fajimo. I think he just has that like natural goal scoring ability. I mean, I've been comparing him to Tyler Toffoli when I see him play. I mean, Toffoli wasn't really high. He didn't really have a lot of speed. He doesn't have a wicked shot, but I mean, he just is able to put the puck in the net, and that's exactly what Samuel Fajimo can do.
And was it, I'm going to pronounce this wrong. Was it, I don't even, how do you pronounce the goalie's name again? I don't remember.
Oh, Matt Valalta.
I almost said Valatieri. I'm like, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, so they had a rotation. Valalta played Friday. I believe it was Ingham. He played on Sunday, and Lucas Parikh played on Monday. Actually, it was all in all, like, if you really put it all together, it was a great weekend from the goalies. I mean, Valalta had the 4-0 shutout win on Friday, which it was a 4-0 win, but he made some really good saves and he was pretty solid throughout the game. So I had him on my tournament team, but the other two goalies played good as well. I mean, Jacob Ingham, he made an incredible post-to-post blocker save in overtime to keep it a tie game on Sunday. And the bench just all stood up and cheered for that. And he made a couple more saves throughout the game. He looked pretty good. And Lucas Parikh looked good too. I mean, when you're defending a team that had played the night before, I mean, you're going to have a lot of tired defenders in front of you, but he played pretty good even despite the loss. So Coach Robleski was pretty pleased with the goaltending efforts throughout the weekend.
The future is bright for the Kings, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely is. So we'll see if that future comes to fruition sooner.
Yeah, for sure. Now, I got to ask, after you seeing them in person for this first weekend, who is the – you said – okay, I'll just ask it. Who is the most NHL-ready, or who do you think will be on the team maybe out of training camp, or will get the biggest look this season at the big league level?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier. I think Alex Turcotte looks probably the most NHL-ready this weekend. I mean, like I mentioned earlier, he was just tenacious all weekend. I mean, his tenacity was great. He was aggressive offensively. His forecheck looked great. His decision-making was fast. So, I mean, if you're looking for a player that's going to compete for maybe a fourth line center role, I mean, you have the likes of Blake Lizotte there. You have Leah Sanderson, who might compete, Jared Anderson Dolan. I mean, you got to throw Alex Turcotte's name in there because, sure. I mean, when you're a fifth overall pick a couple of years ago, I think when you look at the players that are selected around him, Cole Caulfield had a great Stanley Cup playoff with Montreal. Trevor Zegras is a budding superstar in the making. I mean, you have some players that are making an impact already. So I think kind of Kings fans are kind of waiting to see what Alex Turcotte could bring. So I think that's a player we might see on a Kings roster. Another one, Arthur Kaliev.
I was just going to bring him up.
I mean, he had a good weekend as well. I mean, If it wasn't for the amount of goals that Chromiak or the play that Dudas had, I'd probably put him on that tournament team as well. But if the Kings maybe have an injury to the top six, I mean, I think Arthur Kaliev's getting a call, because if you're looking from just a goal scoring point of view, that's pretty much probably the best goal scorer that the Kings have in their prospect pipeline. So wouldn't mind seeing him in the Kings uniform sooner.
Yeah, and it was so nice seeing a couple of these guys get like a game last year. Like, a lot of guys got one game. Byfield got, I think it was 6 games. Mm-hmm. And it's so exciting to see, like, okay, they got that kind of out of the way, for lack of a better term, and now it's kind of go time for them this season when they get their chance. And I think that's a good strategy that the Kings personnel did for these young guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'd be remiss if I didn't mention Rasmus Kupari's name, because, I mean, that's another player. I mean, he's drafted in first round 2017. So, I mean, we're looking at some time. I think it's 17 or 18. I can't remember. But, I mean, he's put in the time. And if it wasn't for that big injury that he suffered at the World Juniors a couple of years ago, I think we'd probably see him in the Kings lineup a lot sooner than we have. So he's put in the time, and I wouldn't mind seeing maybe he's starting off of a third line center role. So we'll see.
Starting off at the third line center role, like making the team.
Yeah. I think.
Wow. I heard it here first.
Yeah. You saw him play 6 games with the Kings. I think that was kind of management staff saying, yeah, we're ready to see what you can bring. And he has a lot of speed, and that's one player. I think, I mean, we know the center depth that the Kings have. That's one player I could see being made move to the left side, maybe right side of the on the wing, maybe use that speed that he has and make some plays. But he's got the potential to be a good NHL player.
So Rasmus Kupari, your opening night third line center. Got it.
I think
book it. Go to Vegas.
Pencil it in.
Week 2 of football is in the books, and now it's time to review the tape and get ready for Week 3 with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off another action-packed week, DraftKings is giving new customers $150 instantly when they bet $1 on any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any Week 3 game to receive $150 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not yet available in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code THPN to receive $150 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code THPN this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, or Indiana. Only new customers. Only a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
I like it.
And now, well, that's rookie camp. And now this week, like, probably as people are listening to this, training camp is starting. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. Kings hockey's finally back. What are your expectations to kind of see in the start of training camp?
Yeah, there's a lot of battles, really. I mean, you look at up and down the lineup. I mean, first line, we have no idea. Second line, really no idea. I mean, we can kind of just pencil in players to play with Kopitar and Deneau, but I mean, at this point, really don't know. I mean, is Iafallo going to be the left wing one? Is Adrian Kempe going to go back to that position? Who's going to play with him? Who's going to play with Kopitar on the right side? Is it going to be Arvidsson? Is it going to be Dustin Brown again? But yeah, there's a lot to like. The Vladimir Kachev, that's a real big.
Yeah, you're high on that. Him.
Oh, I am.
Let's hear about him quickly, because I've only done a little bit of research into him, but I know you love this guy. So what do you got on him?
Yeah, Vladimir Kachev. I mean, there's a lot to like from I'm really careful when I say this, but I see the comparison to Kirill Kaprizov when I watch this kid play. I mean, when I say kid, he's 25 years old. So he's technically still eligible to win the Calder this year. And I tweeted it out a couple months ago that, I mean, I think he's the most, I guess, if you're looking at from a King standpoint, he's probably the best person who can win it for the King standpoint. I don't think Quentin Byfield is going to have a chance. I don't think he's going to be playing a full NHL year or Kaliev, but I think Kachev can have the opportunity because he's got the experience. He's been playing in pro in the KHL for a couple of years now, and he's been putting up points for them. So coming over from St. Petersburg, he's looked really good. And Unfortunately, I guess he had some problems with the coaching staff over there. I'm not too sure exactly what was going on. I think they kind of got wind that he was going to leave the team, and they kind of just like held him off and didn't really want to play him anymore. But other than that, he's got the skill. I mean, he's really good on his edges. He's offensively talented. He's a right wing, left wing, or right shot, left wing. So who knows? Maybe we see him playing on the left side of the first or second line soon. But I think we can probably, I think I'll pencil him in on the left side of the third or fourth line coming out of camp.
Okay. And then, well, I guess you brought him up, so I guess we have to kind of say shout out Kaprizov, his big extension in Minnesota. Yeah. They got it done.
Yeah. I mean, they were going to pay him as much money as he needed. I think it was kind of just a stalemate for a little bit, but he was going to get re-signed. There was no way Bill Guerin was going to let him walk.
Absolutely. I totally agree. I got to say, to me, the kind of wild card in the whole Kings lineup as training camp starts is AA, Andres Athanasiou. Where, I don't really know where he fits now on this team. Like I said when they signed him, like he's a perfect stopgap player, a guy that comes for a season, during a rebuild, and does it. And then they re-sign him, and now I kind of look at it, and I don't really know where he fits in.
Yeah, when they re-signed him too, that kind of caught me off guard also. Because, I mean, we all know that the depth the Kings have in the bottom six, and with the amount of prospects they have, the seeing AA be brought back in was kind of surprising to me. I mean, he wasn't brought back in for just $1.5 million.
Yeah, $2.7.
Signed for $2.7. So, yeah, that's a pretty hefty contract to give to a depth defense or depth forward. But, I mean, he's a former 30-goal scorer, so he knows how to put the puck in the net. Who knows? If the Kings need that depth scoring, I think he was kind of elevated into a role that he probably shouldn't have been in last season. He was played a lot on the second line with Vilardi and Jeff Carter last year. Maybe you can bring him down to a third or fourth line role, then who knows? You get some depth scoring that the Kings desperately needed. So I'm sorry. I think I would pencil him in on the third line, maybe on the right side.
That's where I think I have him as well, because I just don't think I know Brown's getting older, you could say maybe he doesn't deserve to be in the top six anymore just because of his age and he's getting slower, but I don't think AA is playing in the top six this season. I think he might get power play time, but I don't think he's playing in the top six this season.
Yeah. With kind
of the emergence of talent finally coming from the young guys.
Yeah, I agree. And I think it all depends really on where they want to play Vilardi. And I have mentioned Rasmus Kupari as well in the third line center role. So who knows? Maybe if they have Vilardi move to the right side, even move AA down even further. Because, I mean, with his speed, that's something that you can use his forechecking ability to really create some chances, generate some offense on the fourth line or third line role. So that is good X factor to watch in camp. But I mean, there's a lot of X factors in camp. So
there's a ton of X factors. Yeah. Is AA the biggest X factor, or is it is it to do with the prospects? Because Byfield might not be ready. Kupari might be ready. Who's the biggest? Is it I'm going to pronounce it wrong again, the player you just mentioned. Who is the biggest X factor coming into training camp?
I think Kachev could be the biggest X factor, yeah, but I mean, Kachev. there's a lot of question marks. I mean, if you're looking at what are the biggest question marks, the prospect pool, which prospects make the jump? Is it Quinn Byfield ready? Is Kupari going to make the jump? Is Alex Turcotte ready? So I think there's a question mark there. Vladimir Kachev, like I mentioned, but I think you got to look also at the left side of the defense. I mean, there's some question marks there. You have Cale Clegg, Christian Wolanin, and then with the signing of Alex Edler, where does that put Olli Maatta? I mean, so there's a lot of question marks. So
I wonder if Rob tried to move Olli Maatta or even looked at buying him out, because once you signed Edler, I kind of thought, well, Maatta, I kind of gave up on a little bit last year for lack of a better term, but I didn't mind bringing in Edler. It's going to be really weird seeing him in black and silver. We've seen a photo of it already. It's weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, you still have three and a quarter and Olli Maatta. And I just I don't get, I wonder if they tried to move it and it didn't work.
Yeah. It's kind of unfortunate, because when you look at the left side, especially last season, I mean, you have the rookies, Mikey Anderson, Tobias Bjornfoot. They're going to command a lot of attention in terms of watching them develop and their game. So then you have Olli Maatta in there, who's really just kind of a filler at this point. It's kind of okay, well, Yeah. It seems like Kings fans don't even really care about him, which is unfortunate because he's still a really good player. I mean, he's not the top line defensive player that they had him out to start with playing with Drew Doughty last season. But yeah. I mean, in some games he was played pretty well. So, mm-hmm. I mean, as far as moving him, I could definitely see that happening. I mean, I think one thing we should watch coming into training camp is what they do with Tobias Bjornfoot, because he's still waiver exempt. So when you're looking at players that might have to make the jump to the NHL, like Cale Clegg or Christian Wolanin, they would require waivers, whether they move back down. Tobias Bjornfoot doesn't need waivers. So I know he played a full season with, when I say full season, it's only 56 games. I mean, he played with the Kings last season, but who knows, maybe they decide to move him down, just kind of save a player, like save a player from being lost on waivers, like they did. Maybe like, remember what happened with Thomas Hickey when they just placed him on waivers and lost him for nothing. So who knows, we'll have to watch that as well.
Maybe head coach Tom McClellan will finally put some trust in Cale Clegg.
Yeah, we'll see.
It just seemed like he did not trust him last season for some reason, when he's a good defenseman. Like, mm-hmm. I was so shocked that Seattle didn't take him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
and I was like, thank God you took Curtis fucking McDermott.
That surprised
and then somehow
a lot of
traded
people.
Him to Colorado. That and was just, fourth round. That might have been the most shocking thing of the offseason.
Yeah, that definitely surprised a lot of Kings fans, that's for sure. I mean, when you're looking at the players that were available, like Cale Clegg or Blake Lizotte or Martin Furk, I mean, for them to take Curtis McDermott, I mean, they got value out of it. They got a fourth round pick, so
mm-hmm. I guess yeah, they did for sure. Now, we're getting towards the end here. I just got a couple more questions. I do have to ask this because we're kind of talked about what we're looking for in training camp, who the X Factors are. I got to ask this super early, I know, but this is a super weak division this season. Do the Kings have a chance? If you had to put a percentage chance, what are the Kings' percentage chance of making the playoffs right now?
Ooh, percentage point.
Like the division sucks.
Yeah, it's not great. It's
and there's
not
a
great.
Lot of wild cards.
I mean, you look at the teams that some NHL writers have making the playoffs. I mean, I've seen people talk about how the Canucks are going to be back in it, how the Oilers are guaranteed to make the playoffs. I mean, yeah, they have McDavid and Draisaitl, but if you look at their defensive groups, I mean, man, I don't have no idea what the Canucks are doing. I mean, the Flames, they're a big question mark. And
all of Oilers, Western Canada is just a huge...
Yeah,
they're all wild cards.
Yeah, yeah. And they looked great playing in the Canadian division last season. But now when you're going up against Vegas for a full season, now you have... who else is in the division? I mean, the Kraken.
Seattle,
so who knows about
Seattle? We don't know. Like, that's Seattle, the fourth wild card. And then San Jose and Anaheim suck.
Yeah, exactly. So I think really Vegas is really the only big... I mean, I guess people kind of you can probably write them into the playoffs, like, for sure. But I mean, besides that, there's a lot of question marks. So if I had to put a percentage on it, I would probably say maybe 65-70%. I think there's I think there's a really good chance for the Kings. I mean, with the additions of Deneau and Arvidsson, mm-hmm. and then you have Edler in, there's a lot of veteran leadership that have produced. I mean, Deneau is a perfect fit for what the Kings need, and Arvidsson. We know the Kings need scoring, and if he could be healthy and go back to that 30 goal scorer that he once was, then yeah, then they definitely have that impact players that they needed. So I think there's a good chance for them to make playoffs.
Yeah. In my mind, like Vegas, you can just put them like they win the division already. Mm-hmm. And then you can put Anaheim and San Jose, like they suck. And then it's just like, I think the Flames kind of suck as well. Like, I really don't see Johnny Gaudreau having a comeback season, and like Coleman's a nice signing, but then you sign Gabranson to help the defense as well. Like, he's not good. So like, I really I'm kind of down on the Flames, but I have them in the kind of wild card mix of Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Seattle, and LA. And in my mind, like, Seattle is gonna, I think Vancouver will bounce back. Calgary, I really don't know. I think Seattle is gonna be on boring because like they went so defensively sound, like they're going to try to win 2-1. And then I think the Oilers are going to kind of be like the Golden State Warriors the season after they won the championships, where they score a bunch of goals but don't play defense. Like the Oilers, if they win a game, it's going to be 7-6. Like that's the way they're going to play. So like, mm-hmm. I really just don't know what is going to happen in this division. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I think that's the Pacific Division is definitely probably the biggest question mark out of all the divisions in terms of trying to find out who can make the playoffs. But like you mentioned, you probably have the Golden Knights as the clear-cut division winner going into the regular season. But besides that, who knows at this point? So there's a opportunity for the Kings here to kind of surprise some people and make a push for a playoff spot.
For sure. Absolutely. I think I would put it around 60% as well. 55-60%. I'll go a little lower than you just because the season is such a wild card. You just mm-hmm. don't know. And also like the Kings made their signings, but do they quite have that next step yet? What favors them is how crazy and weak the division is. But again, it'll be so interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, for sure. So it's just exciting to have hockey back. But I think for the Kings to be successful, they'll have to rely on the chemistry that Kopitar can build with, whether it be Arvidsson or see if maybe Kempe's in a contract year, so he'll have to have a big season. And then defensively, bring in Edler. He'll probably play top 4 minutes. I have him penciled in with Matt Roy on the second pairing. And then see if Mikey Anderson's in his sophomore year, if he can have a good, solid sophomore season. So. And then with Cal Peterson in net, I mean, if he's going to take the starter, I guess, starter role playing maybe like 60% of 65% of the game, we'll see how he fares in the full-time, starting role with the Kings. So yeah, exciting times to be a Kings fans. That's for sure. I think the trajectory for Kings fans should be happy. So it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be super exciting. Now, one more thing before I let you go. And during the weekend at the prospects event, yesterday, I guess, as well, that's still part of it. The Coyotes announced that they're bringing their old logo back as the full time. And you said, for what it's worth, you've seen the Kings kind of wearing the 90s Chevron logo. So are we going to have some more Kings throwbacks this season? What do you think?
I think there's a rumor that there's going to be another alternate jersey being played. I mean, when I'm just around the Kings staff and the players, you just see them wearing that 90s Chevron logo a lot more and more. So I wouldn't be surprised if that switch is made. I mean, a lot of fans are really partial to that logo. I mean, I am as well. I mean, I grew up a Kings fan watching them play with that logo with Gretzky, Thomas Sandstrom, Marty McSorley. They were all wearing that logo. And that was one of my favorite logos. And actually, I thought that jersey that they wore last season, I like that even better than I did the reverse retro jersey. Yeah. Quentin Byfield looked great in it. So,
oh yeah.
I mean, with the new kind of transition that the Kings are in and this new team that is being formed, I think it kind of bode well for them to kind of rebrand, I guess you could say, maybe change uniforms permanently. So we'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. And with all that, Russell Morgan, thank you again for joining us here. What do you have? Like, where can we find you? What do you have going on? Let the fans know.
Yeah, I think the last time we talked, I was probably still at Rink Royalty, but now, yeah, we switched over to we did our own thing. We have hockeyroyalty.com now, so that's where we're at. It's all the same guys. We have a great group of writers. We're adding more and more, and a lot of good stuff going on. But you can find me on Twitter at NHL Russell, and then find us at hockey_royalty. So yeah, a lot of good stuff. Excited for hockey to be back.
And same podcast going on as well, right?
Yeah. Hockey Royalty Podcast. That's right. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Russell, thank you for joining us, and I can't wait to do this again.
Yeah. Thanks, Jordy.
Thank you. That was another great conversation with Russell Morgan, writer and podcaster for Hockey Royalty. Go give him a follow. Check out his work. He does awesome, amazing work. And with all that being said, that is it here for episode 144 of The Kings Den. As always, don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and review to not only The Kings Den, but to every other podcast around the Hockey Podcast Network, because everyone is so excited for hockey to be starting up again, National Hockey League to be starting up again. Everyone is so excited. And also, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at The Kings Den, THPN, or of course, follow me on Twitter at Cunningham Jordy. Also, don't forget to follow the Hockey Podcast Network, because of course we are presented
by the Hockey Podcast Network. Don't forget to follow them on Twitter and Instagram at HockeyPodNet, or just search the Hockey Podcast Network up on Facebook, up on YouTube, wherever you want to find them. We're there, so go check it out on any social media. Just search the Hockey Podcast Network. And with all that being said, that is it for episode 144. We will talk to you next episode for episode 145. I hope you have a great week, and we'll talk to you next time here on the Kickstand.